someone spoke to me and wondered why, after he saw a picture of the Super Seder, and, you know, no mask, how come? So I did call my doctor, and he said that when I'm in close, this is not considered close, but I'm in close contact to a lot of people, could I to put a mask on and such. And I decided that the mask, since I'm going to use it, as he suggested, so I'm going to let it work for me in Ruchnius as well as in Gashmius. Because to me now, when I'm wearing the mask, or I'm looking at somebody else's mask, it's reminding me that Ribon Ha'olamim Yodati Ki Hineni B'Yadcha Levad, I know that I am in your hands, the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Don't get nervous. I'm not going to sing it as such, you know, as I used to do when I used to wake you up in the morning. And I'm like Chachomer Biyada Yotzer. It reminds me the fact, I'm reminded of the fact that we are like clay in the hands of a potter. The Im Gam Es Ameitz, the Eitz of Sisach Bulos. And even if I put myself together with a lot of plans and a lot of strategies, the Chol Yoshvei Sevel, Yamdu Limini Lahoshieni, the Litmoch Nafshi, and all the people in the world get together with me, and they're going to help me, they're going to support me as such, in planning what I want to plan, etc. Biladei, without Uzcha Ezra Secha, without your strength and your help, Hashem, Ein Eitzah V'Yeshua. Ein Eitzah V'Yeshua. As we mentioned last time, as we said, the three most important things for all this is tshuva, tefillah, utzedaka, mavirin, esroa, hagzera. Now, this last past 2 weeks have been the weeks of Matan Torah. Yisrael, the first part, Mishpatim immediately, and then the end of Mishpatim is the sequel. It goes together. It goes together to show us that Mishpatim are part of Torah, just like tefillin and tzitzis and everything else, so are Mishpatim. Fine. That's wonderful. And the fact is, with all of Torah is Das Hashem. It's Das Hashem. And Torah is Pardes. There are many, many, many different levels. Pshat, Remes, hints to things. Dalid, the Drush, and Sod. Drush and Sod. All of these different things. Drush, to be able to learn things out and sow the secrets of the Torah as well. And there it is. Now the fact is, I want to share with you one of the ideas of that I found in Remez, which was mislahiv me in Parshas Truma. And think of it just for a moment. The Pasuk itself says, the Hayu HaKruvim, we're talking about the Kruvim on top of the Aron. And this, you just have to follow me carefully, but it's not difficult per se. And here we've all seen the pictures. The Kruvim stand one across from the other on top of the Kaporis, and the wings are covering, and it says, Kanfeihem ala Kaporis, their wings are on top of the cover, Upeneihem ish Elochim, and their faces. This is the words I'm going to work with. Upeneihem ish el ochid. Each kariv is looking at the other. In Divrei Hayomim, it says a little differently. When it speaks about the kruvim that were in the Beis Hamikdash, in Shlomo's Beis Hamikdash, the kruvim ish el habayis. Their faces were turned towards the wall of the Beis Hamikdash. And the Gemara from Bava Basra, yeah, and Daf Tzadik Tes says, what is it? Is it Ish Elochid Upneihem Ish Elochid? Or is it Pneihem El Habayis? And the Gemara answers, and this is the important piece. The Kruvim are like a thermometer to give us a reading as to what our relationship is with Hashem. If the relationship is Bisholem, with Shlemus, Ish Elochiv. I look to you, at you, eye to eye. And if things are a little bit messed up, then the face moves away towards the wall. Now, this is the clincher. You look at the psukim. Follow the last letter of these four words. And tell me, I'll wait for a moment. What comes out of the last letters when you reorder them on this pasuk? The kruvim are there, and they're looking at each other. Upneihem, their faces, pneihem, with the mem at the end. Ish el achiv, each one looking at the other. Upneihem, ish el achiv, with a vav at the end. What word do you have? Reorder it. What do you come up with? There's a mem, there's a shin, there's a lamed, there's a vav. The word is shalom. Now it's an interesting thing. So you say, come on, listen, I can find shalom. Your person pulls out a chumash, I'll find shalom. Here it is. I'll find shalom somewhere else. Not a problem. Listen, there's no question if I take Moby Dick, I can take from that, and I'll find different words of different combinations. What's the big deal? But the interesting deal is this. You're talking about a pasuk that refers to shalom. When the face of the Ish Elohim, B'shah Shalom, and here you have the word shalom embedded in this pasuk. Maybe you'll find shalom somewhere else. In Devarim, in Bamidbar, wonderful, fine. We're not saying that you can't find combinations of psukim if they're read, backwards, forwards, whatever it is. But in this particular pasuk, that this should be there. Interesting. Let me go further with you just for a moment. This you heard from me before, perhaps, and that is that the pasuk that we had in this mishpatim, Kol Asher Diber Hashem Nase V'Nishma. Which perek is it found? Perek Chaf Dalet. Which pasuk is it found? Pasuk Zion. Everything that Hashem tells me, Nase, we will do, and we will then understand. Nase V'Nishma, the famous Nase V'Nishma. So, what pasuk? 24/7. Nowadays, person hears 24/7. Everybody knows 24/7 means, what does 24/7 mean? All the time. 24 hours a week, 7 days a week. Is it not interesting that Perek 24, Pasuk 7 should be at one? So you'll say to me, come on, who set up the Perekim? Non-Jews. When the Christians took our Chumash and tried to, the most foolish thing that they could have done, almost. I can think of a few others. But in that one, they stole, just as the Romans stole, quote unquote, the Greek gods. And Lahavdil, but I just give you the idea. Zeus became Jupiter, and Hera became Juno, and Aphrodite became Venus. So the Christians came and they took the Chumash, Lahavdil, and they put it together with theirs, and they divided the Perekim to make it readable for themselves. So what happened? The fact is that don't let that bother you. Harbe shluchim leishlamakom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many different shluchim. And therefore the fact is that 24/7 works out. Interesting. Let me go further. Poseach, go along with me. Poseach es yodecha umasbia l'chol chai ratzon. We say it every day in Ashrei. It's the most important part of Ashrei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you open your hands and you take care of the needs of every living thing. Okay? Poseach es yodecha umasbia l'chol chai ratzon. Seven words. How many letters? 24. Fantastic. You didn't even have to use anything. 24. And let me go further. So that means that not only do we are Avdei Hashem 24/7, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sustains us and the rest of the world 24/7, but now what's our job along with being being the Avdei Hashem? Hodu Hashem Ki Tov. How many words? 7. How many letters?
25.
Who said 25? Yay! Very good. Okay. A chavrus of mine. Very good. 25. So what's going on here? However, shall I ask you which perek that you're going to find 24 words in Tillim? You want to take that one too? Perek Kuf Zion. Kuf Zion, you will find that Hodu Lashem Kito Kili Olam Chasto is spelled without a vav. And there it is, 24 letters. So therefore, you don't have to come back at me and say, oh, hold on. No, no. There, in Kuf Zion, first there, Hodu Hashem, without Hey, Cholam, Dalet Vav. So the fact is, that Derech Remes, you're not going to base Yiddishkeit, like the Rambam says. And this is no; these are not miracles. But he says, we don't base miracle our Judaism on miracles. Miracle, yeah, this one makes a miracle. Paro made miracles. This one doesn't. It's not a point. We're not made this hard. We're talking about Kabbalah, Satorah, and Har Sinai. A minimum of 3 million plus people there experience a theophany of everyone being like a Novi connecting to Hashem. That is something. Okay, so therefore, not miracles. And I'm not coming here tonight to say, oh, this shows. This just shows to those of us who already understand that a Kaddish Baruch Hu has left traces of the Yad Hashem all over Baruch Hashem. This, 2 weeks ago, we suffered a gefrelicha loss. Twice, two of the gedolim, others as well. I won't go into Rav Avram Tversky this evening as well, a gadol in his own right. I want to talk a little bit about Rav David Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and Rav Yitzchak Shiner, you know, also Zecher Tzadik Livracha. We were fortunate that Rav David stayed with us for 99 years. Baruch Hashem, he was a marad derech by his example. I was sitting shiva for my wife, Aleha HaShalom, close to 10 years ago. And he came to visit me. He didn't come to some, he came, our son, Avadya David, who has been with him for 27 years. And therefore, and by the way, others have been there longer, so that there are people who are staying with Rav David. But Avadya David, 27 years. So he knew Avadya David. So he came, and he included me as well. It's the emes. I don't want to impress, falsely impress you that Rav David Soloveitchik came to see me. Came to see Avadya David, I was there too. So when I was sitting, of course, and Rav David came, I said to him in Yiddish, Ich hab gewollt stehen for the Rosh Hashiva. I wish I could stand for the Rosh Hashiva. He looks at me and he says, a din is a din. A law is a law. Okay, you know, and which means that this is, you know, he wasn't saying anything to me that, you know, he just said, a din is a din. Fine. But when David spoke, he spoke very, you know, you ever speak to him? This azay, you know, his eyes, like, oh, and his, a din is a din. Whoa, I'm telling you just the way it came. Okay, wow, he's energizing me. Now it's time for him to leave. And I say to the Nebshir, the Rosh Hashiva, can mechazik near mit epis far a gate? Perhaps the Rosh Hashiva can be mechazik me with a word of chizuk before he leaves. He looks at me again. He says, and he looks through me over here. He says, Weiss ois, it would seem, as was chazal zogen is genug. It would seem that the words of Chazal are enough. Okay. Which means, what are the words? Hamakim Yenachem Eschan B'Salchar Ve'elit Siyom Yishalayim. I mentioned recently in the Shiva home that Chazal have made visiting the, you know, a mourner quite not as hard as it would be. Because Bedera Klal, the beginning and the ending of a meeting, of something like that, is very hard. Person says to himself, what do I say when I go in? I don't know what to say. And the when he leaves, he says like to himself, what am I going to say? I don't want to just say something that's silly and it sounds so hollow. Chazal took care of it. You know, a person has to go to a mavo. What do you say? Nothing. He leaves you into the conversation. What do you say when you leave? Hamakom. Fine. But this is what he said to me. A din is a din. And this is the way that Reb David led his life. Always concerned. B'dikdu kalochot. I have more of my information from Avadya David, almost all of this from who explained to me that Avadya David is not the son who learns with me, but there's a cloud here. It's another son who most likely you haven't seen. But he was, you know, when person would go to him and say, you know, most people wait for Kiddush Levana, Motzei Shabbos. But when he was so medactic that when a person would say, Rebbe, who has people davened in his home, there's a Levana. He'd say, okay, go to the Kaddish Levana. I've already done it. Fine. he was once on his way to Bnei Brak, and he asked the person who's driving, please, as soon as it's safe, move to the side. Please move to the side as soon as it's safe. And he became, you know, somewhat nervous. So, like, the person didn't know what's going on. So, as soon as it was safe, pulled over. He says, what is the Rosh Yeshiva? The Rosh Yeshiva said, I saw the Levana. I have been trying to get to Kiddush Levana. It's been cloudy in Yerushalayim. It's on the way to Bnei Brak. I want to, you know, go there and I want to get. So he got out of the car, you know, and you know, that was Diktuk. He lived very simply, very simply. For a person who had thousands of Talmidim, remember, over all these years, thousands of Talmidim, and the name Soloveitchik, the son of the Brisker Rav, he could have been living like a king. Instead, very plainly, very austere, like Ruchaim Yekinyevsky, Chaim B'Chaim. And therefore, very pretty plain, I had opportunities to be in his house. And so he told his Talmidim. He told them a story that I heard from one of the younger white here, Rabbi Engelhard told me this. And he said that Rav David wanted to bring out a marshal. This is just a marshal of what, you know, happiness is not contingent upon things that you have. So he tells a story to the Talmidim. There was once, of course, a king with his daughter getting very ill. And the doctor said the only thing that's going to make her well is if she can put on the shirt of the happiest man in the world. So what do they do? So what was done is that they sent out scouts all over the place to be able to locate the happiest man and bring his shirt. Well, they came back to the king. They said, oh, we found him, we found him. And they said, well, this is great. You found him. Okay, but where's the shirt? Oh, they said, he doesn't have a shirt. He doesn't own a shirt. Now, of course, some of the people say, well, how did she get well? That's not the point how she got well. The point is that it's not the physical things that he wanted to make, you know, plain to his Talmidim as such. Okay, that's Azach. And the last thing I want to say was told over by a former Talmud that I heard from Rav Avadya David that today is that, you know, about 50 years ago, I would put it to you this way. There's a person who was by Rav David for 30 years, a long time ago. And he says that Rav David never missed giving a shiur, no matter what shape he was in. And about 50 years ago, he had a displaced disc. And it was dry, a herniated disc. It was terrible. And they thought that he'd end up having to give shiur if he continues to give it from bed. But anyway, he held on as he gave the shiur. You know, he would hold on to the shiur because it was so painful to give it. But he didn't stop. You know, it reminds me of our Rosh Yeshiva, Zuzan Gesund, Hachavu Machaim Machaim, who gives shiur, you know, rain, snow, you know, whatever it is, always Baruch Hashem. So the fact is this. There was a bocher whose parents wanted him to leave to go to college. You know, it's not a unique story. Want to leave the yeshiva to go to college. And he was trying to get, he didn't want. And then all along he's telling his parents while they're bothering him about this that he has the yeshiva and the yeshiva gives shiur and he's all having such a problem, etc. But he even holds on to the chair because the pain is so bad. And the end this is, they let him stay. They said, if you have a Rosh Yeshiva who values Torah so much, and if Torah can be so valuable, stay. If you think you can make a living after that, stay. And he did. And he became, so I don't know, I must tell you, I would like to tell you, and he became a great Rosh Yeshiva. I don't know what he became, but I will tell you that he became somebody special. That's why I asked about what is it. He became somebody special, the Kachihi. Let me say a few words about Rabbi Yitzchok Shiner, who I really, I'm sorry to say, had, even though he was an American, I had no contact with him. My loss. But okay. Kachi, at least my children and grandchildren have shaychas. 98 years. We had the schus of having a za person 98 years. I want to give you an idea what type of person he was. He was giving a shiur. And he wanted a sefer called Alios Rabbeinu Yonah. And a bocher And Mirza, he'll get it. He ran, Bucher ran out, you know, to the Eitz Sforim, and he brings back a Rabbeinu Yonah. He brought back a Rabbeinu Yonah Shari Tshuva. He brings back Shari Tshuva. I want you to understand, Elias Rabbeinu Yonah is a sefer on Bava Basra. It's a pirish on Bava Basra. And Rav Shiner wanted to quote something from Bava Basra in a shir of Lumdis. And the young person brings, the Bacher brings the sefer, Rabbeinu Yonah's sefer Shari Tshuva, that has nothing to do whatsoever with the shir that he's giving. A lesser person could have said, he goes out again, or maybe he'd say, I don't know what he'd say, but what did Rav Shiner do? He takes the sefer from him, and he says, and he turns to such and such page, and he says, you know, sometimes, even in a shir of lumdus, we have to bring in an idea of Torah, of Yerushalayim, of Yerushalayim, and he quoted from Rabbeinu Yonah. Only the inner circle understood that a mistake had been made, and nobody else, and the Bacher didn't have any embarrassment whatsoever. And because sometimes the Shir needs a word of Yerushalayim in the mix of the Shir. And as far as they're concerned, that's exactly the Rabbeinu Yonah that he needed. I learn right now with a young man, Chaim Hirsch, for the time being. And he told me that he was in the Misrad HaBriyot. And his family had shaychus with Rav Shiner, but he himself didn't have shaychus here with Rav Shiner till the moment that he sat down next to an elderly man who was waiting in the Misrad HaBriyot. And they start talking. And Rav Shiner says to him, not too long ago, he says to him, Chaim says to him, I come from Lakewood. Oh, you come from Lakewood. My daughter is married to someone in Lakewood. Oh, really? Who? Chaim asked the elderly man. He says, Olshan. You married an Olshan. Oh, Rav Olshan is one of the Rosh Yeshiva in Lakewood. He married a son. Olshan? That's Rosh Hashiva. Yes, that's right. That's Rosh Hashiva. Yeah, and what's your name? My name is Chaim Hirsch. What's your name? My name is Shiner. Just then, a lady who recognized Rav Shiner. Rosh Hashiva, she says, I have a ticket, which is, you know, what's your ticket? His ticket is such and such. I have a ticket, which is earlier, you know. You can get your turn early. You don't have to be wasting time and sitting here. He says, I have my ticket. I don't change it. Whatever the ticket, you have the ticket, use it. And that's it. In other words, here, one of the Gedolei Hador is there. He's sitting there, Shiner, you know. He doesn't say, I am. No, siree. Isn't that something? And he stays there. He wouldn't take. This is what we are talking about when we say, ay, 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 ay. Such a loss is lost. This is it. My Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik LeBracha, Rav David Kronglass, used to say, Grace a mention, tun kleine Sachen. Kleine mention, tun grace Sachen. Here, I'll give you some Yiddish. You come out of here and say, well, we learned Yiddish too. Great people do small stuff. They're no acclaim. They do small stuff, whatever. And this is it, you know? Sitting here, whatever it is. That's grace and mention. Clay and mention, they want to claim. Certainly the grace and mention does great things too. But the person who's a clay and mention, small man, so small business, he doesn't want to take care of the small stuff. He doesn't want to deal with the small people. He wants to take care of the big things that people will say, look at that, you know? Okay, that is the way it works. I have much more to say, but I'm certainly not going to compete with supper. I will just tell you one idea which Kedai has nothing to do with anything here, but boy, it's powerful. To me, it was very powerful, and I would say, I hope it'll be powerful to you as well. In Chafetz Chaim has a beautiful idea that he says, on Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Dalet, Ki Sifka Shor O Yivcha O Chamoro Toe. If a person finds, he happens to find, someone he dislikes. He has a first thing, he finds the property of somebody he dislikes. And this person, his shor or his chamor, is going, got lost. It's off the derech. Off the derech. It's toweh. Hoshev tashivenu. Return it to him. It may take your time. May take a little bit of money. Whatever it is. However, you spend it and you are able, you must go and get the shor, take care of the shor and the chamor. You get reimbursed for any money you spent. It's not a problem, but that's not the issue. It's going to be a lot of tircha. And you don't even like him. You don't even like him. So, okay. Go and bring him back. You don't want to have a loss of money. Says the Chofetz Chaim, if we're so concerned about a person's money, which is Toa Bederach, which is not with him, it's somewhere off the way. How about a person who we find off the way? A person off the Derech Hashem. A person off the Derech Hashem. Without a doubt, we should go out of our way to help a person find his way back. And that's clear. Whatever we can do. For me, listen, I was in Chinuch for 41 years in the States. It was a guiding light. Baruch Hashem, I had Rabbeim who were into Chinuch as such. And it doesn't have to be formal Chinuch. Every person here, how many of you will be teachers? How many of you will be? Everybody, come on! You're going to teach with your wives, you're going to teach your children, you're going to teach your neighbors, you're going to teach your co-workers. Who cares where it is? Every single one of us is a teacher. Because everybody looks at us. Everybody looks at us. You're teaching here. When you're teaching in the lunchroom, you're teaching in the base medrash. You're teaching in your room. How to be a mensch. How to be able to deal with the mohammed of life. There's no shabbat about that. And that's it. People are looking. They scrutinize us. And what a bentera lives in a certain way. Why, oh my, oh my. And if we can reach a person. Rav Miller said one thing, though, that you have to be careful when you go out in bringing people in saving people, and that is, if that person is drowning, I want to save him. The first thing I do, though, before I jump into the water, is to what? Make sure you can swim. Otherwise, you go down with him. So therefore, if I am strong enough, and that's going to be from the base medrash, etc., if I am strong enough, then I can go in there as such. But to be a model mensch, everybody here can do it. Good night.